Glad you are here today. We're going to be in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Been thinking a lot the last week and a half or two as we wrapped up the Better Together, looking at the one another statements from Paul. What next? I mean, the whole year the theme is Better Together. Where do we go? And it just struck me early in the week that Better Together with Jesus. From now through Easter, just getting that momentum toward Easter Sunday. We're in the Lenten season. We want to take each week a picture, an encounter that people had with Jesus that focused them on a kingdom that was not really something they saw in their day-to-day life. That's what we're looking at today through the encounter that Jesus had with Nicodemus. We were not meant, as Christine Kane said in that little tweet that we used week after week, we were not meant to go through this life alone. Jesus knew it himself. He gathered around a number of disciples. He started off, and if we look in Luke 8, we're not going to go there, but in Luke 8, Jesus was on mission, gathering disciples. Luke 9, he sends out the 12, and in Luke 10, it's 72 and more on this journey. So we knew that this mission Jesus was a part of was so much more than himself. The same thing happens here at our church. This mission that we're a part of. I was so thankful Tuesday night at the end of the year basketball banquet that we have at the school that they were talking about what we're able to do as the chaplain for the team and for the cheerleaders. I immediately thought of you because I'm just one of you, and it's a bigger effort. It's Harris Chapel. It's this church that reaches out through efforts like that and through Good News Crew and through the Egg Hunt. And by the way, I think we have about 19 or 20 totes left. So if you could each take a tote today and fill that tote, those eggs, we can even fill eggs on behalf of the kingdom of God. And we're looking forward to doing that moving forward to Easter. This morning, though, we look at an encounter. And as I was thinking and preparing and studying, the thing that hit me was all of us, sooner or later, will have this kind of an encounter in John chapter 3 that Nicodemus had. All of us will meet that moment with Jesus, and we will find out the truth. And when we get to the end of the message, that'll be the focus, is truth. And I love what Josh McDowell says, truth is that which is true for all people in all places at all times. Amen. Truth. If you look it up online, it says truth as you interpret it, truth as we like to explain it. It's not that way with Jesus. It's just truth. And that's where we end up. Now, we start in this encounter that he had with a man named Nicodemus. It's interesting. You go to John chapter 1, Jesus just appears. He just shows up. In Luke and other Gospels, you have the whole story. You have the backstory. You have the prophecies. You have the all the pieces coming together through shepherds and angels and wise men and all the people that are around that nativity. In the Gospel of John, he just shows up. Early on, even in John chapter 1, eyes are on Jesus. They want to know what's going on. In fact, they ask John, as he is teaching and laying the foundation, are you the one? The religious leaders are asking John, are you the one? Do we look for somebody else? What is all this about? Jesus starts later in that chapter calling disciples. A lot of things happen in John chapter 1. It's just crazy how quickly, from an introduction that ties us in with Genesis 1, all of a sudden calling now disciples. Chapter 2, it's where things really start to kick into what I call high gear, the wedding at Cana. I've been there. I've seen that place. People renew their vows there. It's quite exciting to think this is where it all started. Actually, it all started, we know it started a long time ago. You go all the way back to Genesis 1. It's just that this is the part that shows up in that part of the world where we now have people by the tens of thousands, the millions that go every year to see where it all started. It's here at this wedding. Jesus does his first miracle. Right after that, he clears the temple. People are watching. My friend Rick Kaufman says, somebody's always watching. Absolutely, it was going on in Jesus' day. People were watching. It goes further to by the end of chapter 2, there's an encounter with a man that shows up. His name is Nicodemus. We're familiar with this story mostly because of what we see in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. But it really begins back in chapter 2. as Jesus goes in and clears the temple. Can I just say something about that? Because over the years, in certain tribes where I've been a part, this idea of you have taken my father's house and turned it into something it's not intended to be. And that was even taken in a day gone by in a legalistic past that said we're not even supposed to have fellowship dinners at the church because that's God's house. And you go to God's house to be fed the word, not to be fed food. Well, that was then, and that really was not the way the scripture was to be interpreted. That was an effort for us to maintain a standard that Jesus really didn't initiate. And when Jesus is in the temple talking about how his father's house is supposed to be this way and not this way, really what he's saying, if you look in the context of the New Testament, is he's talking about you and me and our lives. And my life, whether I'm here on Sunday morning or I'm at home Sunday afternoon, or by the way, if I happen to make a trip to the hospital this afternoon, is there a reason to go to the hospital these days? Absolutely. If you look, you know, I'm thinking Chris Reynolds is back here, and she's like elevated in her pew because she's no longer just Chris Reynolds, she's Grandma Chris. And so there's a brand new baby. I love it. Ross and Marie yesterday had their beautiful little baby boy. We got a picture, and we're just so thrilled and excited for them. It was so funny because Ross, when he told me when the baby was due, actually it was like due coming up like Tuesday or so, and I said, well, that's exciting because that's spring break. And Ross is only Ross to say, yep, we planned it that way. So I love Ross and Travis. They just kind of just right out there. They just say it like it is. But as I'm going about this afternoon or this evening or Monday or Tuesday, I am the sanctuary that leaves the sanctuary. So when he talks about this, my life needs to reflect a life of prayer and not something else that it's not intended to be. Jesus said that, and that's where he was trying to wake them up. And so Nicodemus is very much challenged by all this, not just a leader, but a Jewish, not just a Jew, one of the guys in the Jewish council. He's a leader in the council. He is a man of great influence, and so he comes to Jesus. As we're reading this, I want you to think about yourself, because all of us at one time or another will have the opportunity to have this encounter with Jesus. So he comes. And he comes at dark. And he says, teacher, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are proof. They're proof enough that God is with you. That God is on you. As I read that scripture, question comes to mind. Is my life, is your life, is our life, is it proof that God is with us? It was amazing. Jesus had only been on the scene just a little while. Miracle, well, actually, approaching John. John says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, starts to call disciples. But most people had only seen him at the wedding or at the temple. Just a brief moment. Already Nicodemus knew something was going on. He was on a quest. One commentator said this, he came in secret, he came in silence, and he came in seclusion. He was very, very curious. Same commentator goes on to say, isn't it interesting that he came at night? When you think about the things that we deal with, when I visit with people and they talk about how my life seems to be pretty good and people that are going through grief or people that are going through changes in life, and they're like, but at night I have issues. At night, the strong get weak. At night, the power lose strength. At night, strong men become vulnerable. At night. And there was Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was one that had been acquainted with religion and all the regulations, the rules, the Old Testament principles, precepts, had not yet encountered the core, had not yet encountered Jesus. And so Jesus comes, and Nicodemus is like, okay, I understand this, but I don't understand you. And as he's looking and as he's visiting, Jesus can recognize, he already knew, it says in chapter 2, he knew what was in men's hearts. And he knew what Nicodemus was going for. Nicodemus, Jesus basically looks at him and says, Nicodemus, you know that you want to know more, but you're not willing to give up control of what you have. You got to give up control. It's like in the movie Field of Dreams, or it's like in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, where each of the main characters at one point say, what's in it for me? Nicodemus was curious, yet he was still holding on to what he had. So Jesus has to unpack it. And he does. Nicodemus says, we know that you're sent from God because your miracles are that sign. But Jesus goes deeper. He says, I assure you, here's the thing, Nicodemus. Unless you are born again, you will never see the kingdom of God. A very simple message from Jesus, a very complicated thing for Nicodemus to get a hold of, because he's thinking of that strict physical thing of being born again. One of my stories is just a cute, corny story of the guy that woke up one morning, he looked in the newspaper, and sure enough, his picture and obituary were in the newspaper. You've probably heard this story. He was livid. He called his wife. He said, "Honey, look at the paper, my picture, my obituary. I'm not dead." And he got all upset and he went right to the newspaper. That's back in the day where you knew exactly where the newspaper was. He went right into the editor's office. He said, "Sir, as you can tell, I am not dead." And the editor looked at him without skipping a beat. He said, "Well, I'm sorry, we don't print retractions when it comes to obituaries, but I tell you what we'll do. Tomorrow, we'll put you in the section under new birth. How's that? And you can start all over." So I know it's a corny joke, but I love telling it. But that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Guess what? You can start all over. You can start all over. You can have a brand new beginning unless you are born again. Now, Nicodemus knew enough to know about the teaching of the law and such, but this concept of Jesus was more than he could handle. He wanted to think logically about the new birth. He wanted to identify it on human terms. But Jesus came in a whole different dimension. He came with a mystery. He came with a new truth that they could not grasp. They were filtering it all through the law. And Jesus said, this is something that is more than a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. I love this morning a while ago in Sunday school when Paul says in chapter 3, he says, guess what? We're now citizens of heaven when we're in Jesus. You understand that there's this dual citizenship thing. There's this idea that we're here. Yes, we're here. We're here. Yes, we pay bills and we go through life and we have all these issues. But at the same time, there's this heavenly connection. And Jesus was trying to open Nicodemus' eyes to that. He says, the truth is no one can enter the kingdom of heaven without being born of water and the Spirit. Yes, we can produce human life, but the Holy Spirit gives life from heaven. So don't be surprised at the statement, you must be born again. It's like this with the wind, and we all understand that the last few weeks. We don't know where it came from, we don't know where it's going, but we can truly see the effects of the wind. And that's what Jesus is talking about with the Spirit at work. Please never forget the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit. It's a whole different dimension that's more than you and I deal with on a day-to-day basis. We can be on phone calls with customer service people. We can be in relationships with people that we meet at Walmart or the bank or somewhere else. But don't forget there's that whole other spiritual dimension. That's what Jesus is bringing in. Nicodemus is trying to wrestle with it. Jesus is telling him, you can't be smart enough, rich enough, tall enough, religious enough. You can't have that. You must be born again. Nicodemus had not heard about this new birth, but that's what Jesus was bringing. You can't understand the things of God. You can't understand this new birth without experiencing it for yourself. We each have that moment where we come face to face with that encounter with Jesus. And we can't do enough things. I know that we look at that, and if we have these activities, and if we're involved in, I look at people and I read the obituaries, and I look, well, they were involved in this organization. They were in this lodge. They were in this service group. They were in the Rotary. They were in the Lions. They were in the Temp. They were in the Masonic Lodge. They were all these other things, and they're just things. There's a lot of well-meaning social groups out there. But along comes Jesus and says, you know what? There's this one thing that you need to know. Right. None of those other groups, listen carefully, none of those other groups will get you to heaven. Right. None of those groups will get you. There's just one thing that matters. Yes. And that's what Jesus is telling Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, he's listening. And Jesus keeps unpacking. I'm like, it just seems like, as I read chapter 3 again, even this morning, I thought at one point Jesus or Nicodemus would just throw his hands back and say, enough, I got it, you're right, absolutely. I mean, he even throws John 3:16 at him, you know. It's like, you know, all these sporting events are holding up John 3:16, and I love John 3:17 as well. And I'm like, wow. Nicodemus should have been like the 13th disciple, I think. If I were to write this, obviously I didn't. But he got the whole load right there. What an encounter. What an encounter. I believe that scripture is for him and it's for you and me today. That no matter how we go through life and how we process the things that we deal with in life, the physical things, the emotional things, the relational things, the financial things, no matter how we process them, we need to bring them back and put them through the filter that says, guess what? In heaven, here's the focus. There's a whole other dimension that you need in your life. But the problem is the natural man, we can't see that. We can't see that. The Spirit is the one that wakes us up. The Word is the one that is the thing that teaches us. We can act religious, we can dress religious, we can act righteous, but we must be, as the Scripture says, born again, and that happens from above. Jesus goes on, he affirms, he says, Nicodemus, you're a great, you're a respected leader, a teacher, but you don't understand these things? I assure you, I am telling you what we know, what we've seen, yet you won't believe us. If you don't even believe me and I tell you these things, how can you possibly believe what's going on otherwise? For I, the Son of Man, have come to earth, will return to heaven again. As Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, I will be lifted up. I mean, he's telling him the whole gospel message is right here.
Praise the Lord.
He says, I assure you, I am telling you what we know and have seen. He gives it all. Can I encourage you, if you haven't had that encounter, see, that's the key to this whole thing. When we talk about any aspect of doing Jesus' life, it's the entryway. It's the way you understand. It's the way that, and even in life when things don't make sense, when phone calls come that don't make sense, you know? We were going back and forth recently with our insurance. I probably shouldn't tell you the whole story, but I'll tell you enough just to know how silly I was about the whole thing. Every time you go to the doctor, you get something in the mail that says, hey, guess what? You've been to the doctor. This is not a bill. This is an explanation of what we did at the doctor. Well, I knew what happened when we went to the doctor because I was there, you know? And so they don't need to tell me if there's it, but this is not a bill. So I have a little stack going, okay? Okay, I've got a little stack there. And in this other little stack were all the W-2s and tax things that we needed to turn in for getting ready for tax time, okay? Well, in the little stack of things also came these other things from the insurance company. It says, by the way, you need to pay your premium. I was like, hey, you know, we're doing real well in the checking account. I was pretty excited. It was getting up there and it kept growing and growing. I thought, wrong, never assume anything, never, never, never. I thought that was just being auto-drafted out, you know. I should have watched. So in one of those little pieces of paper in the stack of stuff, it said, hey, by the way, we canceled your insurance and you haven't had it all the way back to December. I'm like, that's not true. I've been to the doctor. Jenny's been to the doctor. We keep getting these little explanations of benefits, things that are going on. It was one of those left-hand, right-hand things, you know. So even when those things happen and we got it all straightened out and we have insurance, all that stuff's covered, not a problem. And then I get a letter like on Thursday that says, by the way, this is just to notify you, your insurance has been canceled. I'm like, it hasn't been canceled. I know it hasn't been canceled because I just talked to you 2 days ago. So I called up in the suite and they have the nicest ladies. I'm very thankful for those nice ladies. They're like, we're so sorry. We'll put a little X out to the side, let you know that you called. Da, 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 da. You're fine. You're covered. You're fine. We even got new cards and the whole thing. We might have double coverage now. I don't know. You know, we can just go out skiing and do whatever we want now. But anyway, go base jumping. But anyway, so I'm thinking about all this. And even in situations like that, Jesus can see us through.
Amen.
Don't forget that. It's so much fun to think about Jesus when we're on top of the mountain. Things are great. We're on vacation. I called somebody yesterday about a question I had about our pump here at the church down at R&S Drilling. And Sandy answered the phone. I said, Sandy, have you got a minute to answer a question? She says, sure. I'm on the beach in Florida. What's going on? I'm like, wow. So I'm like, it's easy to love Jesus when you're on the beach in Florida. But when you're without this and that and the other, and all of a sudden life starts coming at you and you're really under the load. Nicodemus knew there was something else going on. And he was willing to risk his rank. He was willing to risk his identity. Because obviously, even though he slipped out at night, people still knew he was gone. Somebody had to see him slip out. And there he was, and sure enough, I'm like, you know, whatever happened to Nicodemus? We'll get to that after a while. But he was looking. He was seeking, and the question will come to us, what is it for us? Are we connected with the creator of the universe so that when these things start to unfold, that life is coming at us and all these things are happening, guess what? We have the creator. We see it from this angle, but he's always revealing things to us from this angle that helps us deal with this angle. Does that make sense?
Yes. Amen.
We are not alone.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Better together with Jesus.
Yes.
Nicodemus was learning and he got the whole thing. It boils down to this, I'm learning this as well. It boils down to the truth and standing on Jesus, who, as he said, is the way and the truth and the life. We had two pretty good sized memorial services, one last Saturday and one on Wednesday. And in both of those services, we looked at John chapter 14 as one of the scriptures that was read. And Jesus tells his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And down in there, and they're asking this question back and forth. And he finally just says, guess what? I am. How do we find this out? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And of course, we focus on Jesus being the way. I think also Jesus is the truth.
Amen.
The truth. I thought about that the other day on little Fox News app. It has the top five stories, and one of the things that pops up down at the bottom after all the important stuff's over is, how do you know if somebody's telling a lie? And I thought, well, that sounds interesting. How do you know if somebody... So it gives you these top 10 reasons to know if somebody's lying, you know? And I'm looking through that, I'm like, I hope I don't do that. I hope I don't do that. I thought, why am I even looking at this, you know? So I went back and hit the back arrow, and I said, ways to know somebody's telling the truth. That was a good one. Let's do that instead. And even under that, it says, how do you know somebody says they're telling the truth, but they're lying? I'm like, come on, guys. Help me out here, Google. But there was one called Telling the Truth. I shared this Wednesday night. There's one called tellingthetruth.org. I love that. If you've ever heard of Stuart or Jill Briscoe or their son Pete Briscoe, their whole ministry is built around this website entitled tellingthetruth.org. It's a Christian website. It basically gives you numerous free, exhaustive Bible studies. You type in the topic, greed, envy, whatever your loneliness, pain. You type in those words, and they'll give you an entire Bible study, daily devotions on how to deal with those issues. They'll even follow it up and send you emails. Hey, here's a video that we did on helping you with greed, loneliness, whatever it is, the topic. They are telling the truth. Jesus was the one that was encountered that night by a guy named Nicodemus. And he ran square into the truth. I tie John 3 into John chapter 18 because near the end of the life of Jesus in John 18, he's standing before someone else, not at night, but in the middle of the day, or actually the morning. And this guy looks at him. His name is Pilate near the end of John 18. And he says, so you're a king? There's all this interchange that's happening, this dialogue. Jesus is mostly quiet. All those around him are accusing him. And Jesus says, you know, you say I'm a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify. We're in verse like 37 of John 18. I came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. Sounds a little redundant. He's just driving home a point. Nicodemus was seeking truth. It was revealed there that night in the garden with Jesus. Jesus has come out of another garden, facing now a guy named Pilate, and the same question comes up about who he really is. Pilate asked the question. Really, it was kind of a retort. Really, he was being snarky,
right.
Or as my friend Mark Royer would say, he was being snarkily. I didn't know there was another syllable in there. I just thought it was snarky. In verse 30, he says, what is truth? And then he just turns and walks away. Ha! What is truth? He really didn't want to know the answer. But Jesus had brought this thing full circle right there in an audience of hundreds who were ready to see his demise. And he brings that out again one more time. I am a king. It's a kingdom. I'm bringing truth. Whoever seeks truth, they will find the truth. Truth. Pilate really wasn't looking for it. As I read this, I thought about Nicodemus. Because right there at the end of John chapter 3, or near the end as Jesus has finished his discussion, it just goes on to chapter 4 and says they just went up and left. It doesn't say if Nicodemus went here, there, or anywhere else. Just you don't hear about him anymore. It just says, boom, then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem, went to Judea countryside. Beautiful area. But what happened? What happened to Nicodemus, I thought. So I did a little checking again. And sure enough, if you turn to John chapter 19, after we just were in 18, in chapter 19, Jesus sentenced to death, Jesus crucified, the death of Jesus. And now, near the end of John chapter 19, I love it because to me it's like Paul Harvey telling us the rest of the story. In John chapter 19, verse 38, afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. And look at the next four words. With him came Nicodemus. When I read that, I just got all excited. Those four words, with him came Nicodemus. That tells me, I don't know all the nuances between chapter 3 and chapter 19, but that tells me, with him came Nicodemus, he was there. He was a believer, he was a follower, he was a disciple. He risked everything in daylight later that evening. In fact, it said he brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloe, and they followed the burial custom, wrapping his body. There was something that had connected in Nicodemus' heart between John chapter 3 and John chapter 19, and with him came Nicodemus.
Amen.
Wow. I want to be in that number.
Amen.
You know? I want to be part of that group.
Yes.
I want to be that person. I want to be that person that stands on the truth. With him came Nicodemus. And what is truth? As we said earlier, it's that which is true for all people in all places at all times. That's what's so exciting about the gospel. When evangelists, when missionaries take the gospel to other countries that haven't even heard of a Bible, and they start revealing this, they show the Jesus movie, people just start just going crazy. They're like, that's it. That's it. The truth has shown up. Not just spoken truth or some kind of nuance or philosophy. It is the truth. No matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the consideration is, it matches everything for everyone, all times. Pertaining to God, pertaining to man, the truth. Our faith is founded on this truth. One writer said this, truth as a personal excellence, the candor of mind which is free from affection, pretense, simulation, falsehood, or deceit, sincerity of mind and integrity of character, a mode of life that's in harmony with divine truth. A mode of life that's in harmony. See, this goes back to chapter 2. This stuff, and up clearing the temple. His responsibility or his goal is hopefully to clear out all this stuff in us so we can be that temple as we go about our lives from day to day. So whatever decision comes along, whatever crisis comes our way, that we're listening, that we're thinking, that we're responding, because there's a mode of life that's in harmony with divine truth. I want to read that whole little section again. Truth as a personal excellence, that candor of mind which is free from affection, pretense, simulation, falsehood, deceit, sincerity of mind, and integrity of character, a mode of life in harmony with divine truth. It's the real deal. Do you understand that in Jesus? This is not simulation. I remember as a kid, I grew up in those Apollo years. Some of you remember those years back in the mid to late 60s. In fact, in 1969, I remember where I was when Neil Armstrong stepped out and they were talking about how this was all going to happen. Walter Cronkite and all the specialty guys, whether they were at Houston or wherever they were in Florida, wherever they were, they had those times. I said, now we're going to simulate what you will later see. And at the bottom, it's a simulation, simulation. It was like, oh, this is not the real Apollo craft on the surface of the moon. This is a simulation. You understand, when you go through life, there's a lot of simulation.
Amen.
But that night, in the summer of 1969, when Neil Armstrong stepped down, I still remember that terrible black and white image, you know? But I remember it's like, this is really happening. You know, it's like, not a simulation, not a simulation. The same thing is true when we come to Jesus, you know? There's a lot of things in life that we face that are just a mirror or a shadow or a whatever, a simulation. Just visiting with our friend Fritz right before we came in and talked about the scripture in Psalm 23 where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Some of us have walked through that valley of the shadow. And he looked at me and he points and says, it's just a shadow. It's just a shadow. Isn't that good?
Amen.
It's just a shadow. Let's stand together and pray this morning. I'm going to invite you, if you'd like to come and pray. Have you had that encounter? Heads bowed, eyes closed, standing together. If you've had that encounter, that's awesome. Congratulations. Never lose the fervor of that encounter. Build daily on the joy and the foundation of that encounter. Continue to add to your faith on that encounter that you've had, that Nicodemus encounter. If you have a question, if you're like, Jim, I just don't know. I just kind of feel like I'm struggling so much. I don't even know if it's real. I feel like my life is a simulation. And I want it to be the real thing. Maybe you want to come pray this morning. Just say, I want the real thing. I want the real relationship that comes down from heaven. That's not something that somebody just told me about. It's also something that I know is real in my heart. That God has shown me. That I am ready for that to be a reality in my life. That love, that relationship, that presence. I see a lot of people when you kind of flip through the dials, they're looking for a reality. Sometimes they're standing in a courtroom, and it could be anything from that dog came over and, you know, tore up my rose bushes, and they're suing their neighbor, and they're looking for a reality. They're looking for truth right there in the courtroom. Or maybe they're on some crazy talk show and they've had a DNA test. They want to know the truth. Can I just tell you this morning, in the midst of all that craziness, there is a truth that will still be the truth. And that was what Jesus came to establish. And Nicodemus had that encounter. He had an encounter. So by the time we got to John 19, I was like, hallelujah. There was Nicodemus. He didn't run. He didn't doubt. He was right there. Do you want to come pray this morning? Is there anything you just need to bring to the Lord this morning in your own life? A question, a concern, a doubt, a fear? You just want to come and say, Lord, help me. Maybe you're struggling with something and you just say, Lord, I need your help. Come and pray. How are things in your life? Maybe it's late at night and you're just struggling to get through the night. Say, I just need some help. I just need some prayer. If you need somebody to pray with you, bring them along. We don't want to impose on you, but if you need somebody to pray with you, just take them by the arm and say, would you come pray with me? I promise you they will say yes. Anybody else want to come pray this morning? Anybody else? Maybe you'd like to come and lay a hand on the lady that's praying here this morning. Just come and agree in prayer. Maybe this morning you want to come and represent someone. I know we've had a lot of people in and out of the hospital this week. Marlon Harris and Sherry Patterson and Gerald and Carolyn are just back from Carolyn's brother's funeral yesterday. And Laura Caudill just dealing with Bill's passing. So many needs. Maybe you want to come and thank the Lord for answered prayer. Russ and Marie, what a blessing. What a blessing. Maybe you're facing something and you just need to bring that to the Lord. And you're like, Lord, I know you're there. I just want to come this morning and kneel at the altar and pray about it. Just to seal that in my mind that you're there. And to show you that I am doing my part in praying and surrendering. See, that's where Nicodemus was hung up. He had a hard time surrendering his thought and what he knew about the law to the way of Jesus, the way of truth. Lord, this morning as we're here in this time of prayer, we are grateful for this picture of Nicodemus. We're grateful, Lord, for his life and his willingness to risk coming to Jesus, because it was something that helps us down through these years see in our own life the questions we have. How is that possible for someone to be born again? How is that possible? It doesn't match up with what I've been taught, with what I've been raised, and what grandma used to tell me, and what that guy told me or that lady told me. But Jesus, your word is truth, and we're going to stand on that this morning. And we're grateful that Nicodemus helped to unfold and bring us in a little closer so that we can see the truth revealed. We're grateful, Lord, that you went to the cross as we celebrated in the moment of communion, that the sacrifice has been made. So as we pray this morning, we're not just trusting some group of days gone by. We're trusting a foundation of a Savior who suffered and bled and died and was resurrected and sent the Spirit to be with us and to be in us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that today. Jesus, would you just move throughout this sanctuary? Would you move around the altars this morning and speak into each heart and mind? Bring your presence, bring your assurance, bring your answers. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege of being together, better together with our family here this morning. Jesus, we commit the rest of this service, we commit this day to you, and more than anything, we commit ourselves to your truth, to yourself. Be in us. Help us, we pray, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's say this together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen.